Life Audio.
This is Empowering Homeschool Conversations.
We want families to come here and gain insightful strategies that empower them to successfully teach diverse learners at home.
Hosted by founder and CEO of Sped Homeschool, Peggy Ployer.
Our goal is that these powerful weekly conversations will boost your confidence to cultivate the best at-home learning environment for your student.
For more homeschool resources, go to spedhomeschool.com. You're listening to Empowering Homeschool Conversations with Peggy Ployer. We'll start the conversation with Peggy and her guests next.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
This is Empowering Homeschool Conversations, provided by Sped Homeschool, a nonprofit that empowers families to home educate diverse learners. To learn more, visit spedhomeschool.com. Here's Peggy Ployer.
Hi, everyone. Today, we're going to learn the ins and outs of homeschooling a child with hearing loss. And my special guest today is Angelina Myers. Welcome, Angelina, to the show.
Hi, Peggy. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I am so excited to have you today and to talk about this topic. Angelina and I were talking ahead of the conversation or this conversation. And I said, we have parents often that come and ask us about how do I homeschool a deaf child or a child with a hearing loss? And a lot of times we don't have a lot of resources. So Angelina is very well connected and she's got lots of resources. And I'm super excited for her to share with us today. And so we're going to pop into this conversation, just learning more about you and your family. So I always like to ask that when we first get started, just so our viewers and our listeners get to know our guest. But I do want to let you know, if you're watching live and you have questions or comments, put them in the feed, whether you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, and we would love to include those in our discussion in this next hour. So so be part of the conversation. That's why we're live. So so we'll watch for those. But Angelina, I would just love, again, to know more about you and your family as we get going.
All right. So my husband, Joshua, and I, we've been married for 15 years, and we have four... Thank you. We have four wonderful children. We have three boys and a little girl. Our oldest son, Alexander, he is 14, and we've homeschooled him since he was 4 years old. And awesome. Then we have identical twin boys that are our deaf and hard of hearing children, and they are 13. They are 15 months younger than our oldest
son. Wow, you were a busy and mom. You're still a busy mom, but yes, when they're little.
I say we forget what those early years were like.
Yes, we do.
And then we waited a while, and then we had our daughter, and she just turned 8.
Aw, that's awesome. So you started homeschooling pretty much right off the bat then?
And we really did. We kind of fell into it. So we had always known that we wanted to not go into the public school system, just to have a smaller classroom and to have more tailored learning kind of thing. Homeschooling was not on my radar originally. We started looking into private schools in our area. And I interviewed several, and I really didn't feel a good connection, I guess, with anybody. And so I started feeling anxious and getting really nervous about what we were going to do the closer my son got to kindergarten age. And my husband was actually the one that suggested that we homeschool. He homeschooled for several of his years in school. And so he broached that topic with me and said maybe it's something that we can consider, but something that we needed to pray about.
Right.
And so I prayed about it, and we found a homeschool convention to go to. And so we went to that and learned a little bit more. And so we decided to start with preschool.
That's the best place to start. You can really hardly mess that up.
Yes. So we just decided start with preschool. If we don't mess that up, we can talk about kindergarten. So that's kind of how it's been just every year. How are we doing?
That's a wise plan. I know so many families that do that. It's a year-by-year basis, and we're just going to take it one year at a time. But it's also good that you point out, you know, that anxiousness. A lot of times when we are being called to do something, we have this quickness of heart, you know, that this just doesn't feel right. It's not right. And sometimes we poo-poo that and put it off, but really listening to that is where God's call is in our lives, and really grasping onto that and trusting instead of saying, no, I'm not one of those people. Because I actually did that. I went to a homeschool conference when my kids were preschoolers, same situation as you, and said, nope, not for me. And sent my child to private school and ended up homeschooling anyway. So, you know, just God gets his way.
Right. He does, doesn't he?
So that's exciting. So you already had your two children with the hearing issues then in your home while you were making this decision. Did that make it more difficult?
It didn't make the decision more difficult. Because really with the remediation for hearing that we've already done, because our twins, they were diagnosed with hearing loss at 2 years old.
Wow. Okay.
Yes. They have a genetic disorder called EVA. So their inner ear is malformed. The aqueducts are enlarged, which makes water pool. So it doesn't flow through the cochlea, and transmit that sound appropriately.
Got it.
And so we didn't know until there were two that they even had hearing loss, which is amazing to think about.
Right. Yeah.
And so when we started the process of learning and understanding what their needs were, we really started homeschooling in those early years before we even really considered it as a formal thing. As parents with children with a hearing loss know, there are lots of things that you are doing and learning and terminology. It opens up a whole new world of things that I never would have thought that I would understand the inner workings of an ear as well as I do.
You didn't like get your degree in biology or, you know.
Right.
Well, okay. You kind of got one anyways, whether you wanted it or not.
Yes. And so it just kind of fell into place because as they aged, we were so thankful to have the ability to homeschool because a lot of things those early years they struggled with because we were bridging the gap. Because with a child that didn't immediately be able to hear, there are things that are missed, those receptive learnings that children with a normal hearing, they just pick up on those picks up on cues. Exactly. And so when you're really trying to teach something, you're trying to remember what it was like when you learned it. And you're like, oh, I don't remember ever learning this.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're navigating a situation that you don't have experience in. And so how do you teach somebody the things that you just picked up on from your environment?
Yeah.
And so we had to rethink how we talk to our children, just the communication in general. I remember a conversation because we all sit at the dinner table and we talk and we, you know, converse amongst each other, and my husband and I will joke with each other and we'll laugh, and I just laugh at everything. I just laugh at all the jokes. You know, one night we had made a joke to one of my twins he just kept eating. He was just like going off, you know.
Really?
And so we stopped him and we're like, did you hear what we said? Like, did you pick up on that? And he's like, what? And he's like, oh, I didn't realize you were talking to me. And so that brought up the conversation. Okay, then, you know, we were laughing and giggling and carrying on.
Right.
And we didn't know that he was missing that. We're like, well, what did you think was going on? And he was like, I just thought you always looked at dad and laughed at dinner.
Oh.
Like, that was just something he did. And so that just kind of brought it into us that, oh, wow, you know, we really didn't realize that we weren't including him in the conversation because we weren't speaking in a way that he could to realize that we were capturing his attention.
Right,
and
exactly.
So realizing that those cues, they have to be there to include a child that is deaf into it.
Right. Yeah. You don't even think about that. Just natural.
Right.
The natural way we communicate is not their natural way or a way that they can be brought in. And so you have to build like scaffolding. You know, we talk about scaffolding of education, but to bring in that inclusiveness within any conversation. I never even thought about that, but to be so mindful of that. After a word from our sponsor, we'll dive back into this conversation.
This is Empowering Homeschool Conversations, provided by Sped Homeschool. Go to spedhomeschool.com to get resources and support for teaching your unique learner at home.
That transition probably took a long time because you've built those habits of you know, regular conversations all your life. Was that something that, you know, how did your family make that transition once you realized you needed to do that?
It was so difficult.
Really?
It really was, because you really have to talk through so many things. We were in speech therapy that is auditory based and language for them for years. And they would encourage us. They're like, everything that you do, narrate it. So you're opening the door, talk through that. Talk about what those, you know, what's happening, what's going on with.
Right, because that's oftentimes how you improve speech in an autistic child who wouldn't have the speech, that they need the extra words and to know how to use them in that context. But that doesn't help you, does it? Your children.
Right. And it turns into a situation where you're really thinking through the process of everything that you're doing. So the steps in making a sandwich, the steps to putting your shoes on, the steps to getting ready to go out the door, the things that you're doing that just, you know, you just do it on autopilot.
Right. It's almost like executive functioning. It's like you've got to take it into those little pieces.
You really do. You really have to drill down to what it is that we're learning here.
Yeah.
Because the things that we think are being picked up on, they might not be.
Right.
And so really making it clear on what those steps are. And communicating it, which was very difficult because it feels so awkward saying, okay, we're going to open the door now, you know, like those little things that you don't feel like you should narrate.
Right.
But you find yourself narrating it, and then it changes the way your children play too, which is so funny to see, because my older son, he would be playing with our twins and they would all communicate to each other, and they'll be like, okay, so I want you to, you know, move the dinosaur like this. And so they will like explain it. And so it kind of just trickles into just everyday life.
We
just explain all the things that are happening.
So have you had anybody come into your house that has actually observed that and thought, you know, why do you do what you do? Or they kind of understood your situation. Most people, I'm sure, you know, that you meet know that, but out in public or at church, or, you know, I'm sure it's maybe sometimes hard for people to understand how much necessity that is required.
Yes.
Yeah. It just takes advocating, I guess. And it's what we do best as parents with kids with needs.
It really is. And being able to teach it, because, you know, we advocate so strong for our children, and then we want them to be able to advocate for themselves too. And so modeling what that looks like is so important, and calling it out when you don't think they're getting it, because eventually at some point you're going to see that look. I think all of us parents, we've seen the look before where we know that you're not understanding a word you just said.
Exactly. It's like, how do I rephrase that? This is kind of always what's in the back of our head, isn't it? I'll help you understand. We'll just get it around some other direction. Absolutely. Well, we had a couple of comments from one of our viewers, Kara Sue the Dreamer. She asked a question about interviewing somebody who is a disabled homeschool graduate. We would love to focus on that topic and love to have you on as a guest. And she just said, I feel welcome. This is one of the few Christian channels I felt welcome at. Well, I am so glad. We want to love everybody, because that is what, as a Christian, I am called to do. And I'm glad that you are feeling that through our broadcast. And we don't require you to be like us. Just know that God's love is bigger than a set of rules that a lot of people tend to follow. That want to fit you in a box. We know that God's love can break through a lot of things. So thanks for continuing on with us. So, you know, you talked about your decision to homeschool. Were there other people in your life, like parents, you know, very concerned friends that maybe said, maybe you shouldn't be homeschooling? Was there any of that kickback?
So we were very fortunate that our parents were very supportive.
That's awesome.
That they didn't make comments about it.
So they might have been thinking it, but they
but one of the biggest things that they would say is, I just don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it. We don't know how we do it either.
Right. Exactly. Yes.
But you kind of just go with it. So we were very fortunate. We didn't get the backlash. We got the common things of, you know, how are you going to socialize your children?
Right.
And are they going to make friends? Are they going to be socially awkward? You know, those very common things. And as homeschooling parents, I think we all know that, I think their social schedule can get a little crazy.
It can. Yes. Yeah. I think we over socialize our kids sometimes.
It's almost like we just hear that going into it and we're like, oh, you know, no, that's not at all.
Right.
And then maybe take on too much.
Yes. Cause we're trying to overcompensate for what society says. We don't have your kids in a classroom, so of course they can't be socialized. And we're going, they just need to be home more so we can teach them social skills like appropriate ones. But, well, that's good, because, you know, a lot of times there isn't a whole lot of support. And sometimes, too, especially when you have a child who, I've talked to parents who have children who are deaf of hard of hearing or blind, and because they have those special schools, that the kickback for a lot of parents who are in a similar situation is even more extreme than a typical homeschool transition. So, so how wonderful for you that, you know, what you felt was being just validated, and, you know, with, between your husband and yourself, just was something that was validated by family. And so, yeah, that's, yes,
we're very thankful for that.
Yes, very, I'm sure. That's awesome. So we had a question from one of our viewers that had submitted it ahead of time. And I know we're going to dive maybe into some more specifics, but her question was about using sign language. And she said, should a child with hearing loss use sign language? And then what are the pros and cons of doing that?
I love this question. So as you're navigating the deaf world, there are so many modes of communication. So you can do listening and spoken language. So it's what we're doing now. We're using our words and we're listening for those responses.
Exactly.
Or you can communicate with sign language. American Sign Language is what is most commonly used, but there's also C. And then there's also cute speech. So all of these things are great tools for your children to learn. But the tool that's going to work is the one that you nurture. And so
I feel like
it's going to be whatever works best for your family, because no mode of communication is going to be easy to acquire. I feel like this is true for typical hearing children and also deaf children. It's going to take time and it's going to take work to learn. So it's just going to be based off of what works for you and your child, and just navigating what that looks like.
Right.
And so taking the time to listen to what your child is telling you. Because one thing that I like to point out is that it's not the tool that wins. Ultimately, it's the child. So a tool fails the child, not the child failing the tool.
Yes.
And so it's just finding out what works for them and giving them access to communication, because communication is going to be the key to unlock the world that we want for them. And so it's just going to be a matter of what works for them.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a great point. So it's not about using sign language. It's about the process of using sign language, and is it working? Is it not working? And I've talked to people that have used PEC programs, and they are other types of things, and it's kind of a trial and error process of going through that and not getting so frustrated at the child for not being able to learn it, but just knowing that there are some things, even as us like homeschool moms, there's some curriculum I just gravitated towards because it seemed to just speak to me. And other ones I was like, other people love it, but not happen in my house.
right.
Yes. So I think taking that perspective too, from that teaching approach, that's very wise. Just to say, each of our kids are going to have those, I guess, different learning styles, but communication styles as well.
Exactly. And,
so are your twins on the same page as how they learn, or did you get two polar opposites?
Oh, they are polar opposites.
Oh no. So you've had to learn two different ways. Almost.
Yes. And honestly, all four of my children, they learn in different ways. And so they each had their own struggles. And so navigating how to overcome that can be very challenging. But that's what we do as parents, right? That's the beauty of homeschooling and having your teacher be your parent, because we're 100% invested in this child.
Yes, exactly.
We want them to grow up and we want them to move on and we want them to be successful adults.
Exactly.
And so finding what works for them is so important. We played with so many different things, so many different curriculums through the years. And one thing that I always tried to do was have visual representation of whatever it was that we're learning, and then also the physical aspects of things, because having three young boys that are so high energy, we had to work that out somehow.
Right.
So we did so many games of, I remember staying up late laminating sight words on lily pads so that they could jump on them, or creating an obstacle course. So many different things that we just did to help them figure out, okay, how do I learn best?
Right, exactly.
and now we're finally at a point where they're more independent, and we've moved to an online self-paced model that they're doing what they're excelling at, because we found ways to make them enjoy learning and build and that self-advocacy and be able to help them in that way.
It's those foundational skills that you've built in, and knowledge. And a lot of times I think we get into that period of homeschooling and we're like, oh my goodness, is this what it's going to be like all the way through? For some kids it is, but for very few it is. You get those foundational things in place and you can switch gears, because now all of a sudden they've grasped that ability to learn. And then, you know, after those building blocks are put in place, they can really build upon it themselves. Mm-hmm. And so that's a great point to make, because yes, we can get stuck in this, oh my goodness, this homeschooling is never going to end.
Right.
But yes. So that gives hope, I'm sure, to many that that you've been able to kind of launch them into their own learning trajectories on their own, which is very cool. So are all of your older three doing kind of the same thing then, or did you have to find different programs based on each of their learning styles and communication styles?
We had to find things that fit them. So early on, we did all about reading to help really give them the tools that they needed to get that base down. We've done a Becca parent led work. We've done piece together things based off of what their needs are and the
recommendation
that we were doing at the time. And so we've just kind of done a combination of things. just seeing what stuck.
Yeah. And that's pretty much common across the board. If you have, or you're homeschooling a child that struggles, you become this eclectic homeschooler, not by choice, but out of necessity. Yeah. And you just find different things, but you always seem to not be able to just stick with that one box.
It's true, because as they grow, their needs are different.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And you just have to supplement, again, like you said, that trial and error kind of on the side. You may be all studying the same thing together, but this one child needs, you know, help in this area. One child needs help in another area, to just kind of all be on the same page still together while you're learning. And that's kind of frustrating, I think, you know, coming in, because we have this picture that, you know, homeschooling happens like it just happens. And, you know, everything that's in that manual that says on day one, this is what you do, and everybody's going to get through it by the end of day one, it just doesn't always happen.
Right, exactly. And that's the beauty of homeschooling too, is that you have that flexibility. If it takes longer than what the box says, that's okay. This might be hard, but something else will be easier, and then it'll be great, and it all balances out. And it's really that balance and not getting frustrated that it says this in black and white, but my child really needs this, because they just understanding that they all learn at different paces.
Right.
And celebrating those successes, because sometimes when we get into things, whether, you know, hearing or comparing a deaf child to their hearing peer, there are those gaps that we see.
Right.
And then getting those thoughts in our minds, like, oh, it's going to take so long. I remember looking at all of their their speech and language evaluations and just seeing, oh, they have such a long way to go to reach their hearing peers.
Right.
And that we would forget how far we've come.
Exactly.
And so looking back on how it was and then where they are and celebrating those, because it's a lifelong journey of
it
parenting
really is.
And hearing and learning. And we want to celebrate those small successes.
Absolutely.
And so that's the key, is just remembering, don't get caught up in the little things, but to remember to celebrate those as well.
Exactly. Yes, that is so true. And, you know, and it really does, it gives your child the ability to know that they are doing something and they're making that progress when you mark those milestones and say, look what we've done, instead of, oh man, look how far you have yet to go. I mean, right. How defeating is that?
Exactly.
And so we all want that. We all want to be celebrated for the accomplishments we make. And yes. And like you said, you know, there are those points where they just doesn't seem like a lot of progress is happening, or there's a huge gap, and then they like rocket like quick. Right. And then all of a sudden you see another stagnant point and you just keep going, and you know, progress may be so small you don't even see it, but it just happens like that. It's not this typical trajectory of, yeah, we're just going to progress, you know, at this even rate all the way through. And wouldn't that be nice that every child is like a chart? But they're not. Yes. Oh, well, that's a good reminder just for all of us that, you know, we just have to look at our child more than what the books say or any expert says, or, mm-hmm. you know, just the statistics that where kids are at. And they all get there. And like you said, we have a lifetime. Why are we rushing them through the things that they need to get to a place where they're not even going to be prepared when we push them there? So we might as well just take our time now and really work on those fundamentals.
Yes. Yep. And enjoying the process, because it's such a special time, even as frustrating as it can be.
Uh-huh.
But it really is such a special time to get to homeschool your child, because we get to see them in a way that we wouldn't have if they weren't home with us.
Right.
And so being able to connect with them and to understand where they are and to see them and their growth and all the wonderful things, and being able to celebrate those with them are so special, because
absolutely
parents aren't fortunate enough to be able to do that. And so it's just a blessing that us homeschooling parents have.
Absolutely. Yes, completely agree. That's why we kept homeschooling too. And Mandy said something on Facebook. She said, my son has hearing loss and ASD. Our choice to homeschool is worth celebrating each and every day. That's awesome. Thanks for sharing with us. Yes. And it is a celebration. It's a celebration of our freedom to be able to homeschool and to make those choices for our children, and really to be able to not put them in a place where they're kind of just pushed through. And unfortunately, the school system just has so many kids that that's what they're required to do. I don't want to beat up on them, but it is what it is. And the ability to pull your child out of that, say, you know what, you're special. You were made and you're gifted. And there's a purpose for your life, and we are going to be on this journey together. I mean, that is so powerful to our children, for them to know that. Instead of saying, well, you're about here with everybody else and about there, and you got to catch up. And, you know, it's like this mantra that we wonder why depression is so huge in our society. It's because we allow all these other areas to speak into our children's lives about where you know, how good they are, and they're good. They're awesome the way they're at. So, yeah. So thank you for that reminder, both Angelina and Mandy. So I wanted to ask you a little bit about curriculum. You talked a little bit about that, but also as far as like recruiting help through your homeschooling journey. What has that been like for you? And you know, how did you go about even looking for curriculum to help, especially your sons with that do have hearing loss, and mm-hmm. and then just being able to use that and to modify and accommodate as needed?
So one thing that we did is we did go to the homeschool convention to be mm-hmm. able to look at
so important
at the curriculums that were available and to see it and touch it and mm-hmm. You know, go through it. But we also participated in homeschool co-ops so that we could meet with other families that were homeschooling to get what their perspectives were like. Mm-hmm. And then the piecing together came because of my desire to provide for them, because I view life with a child as a parent is that I'm just filling their toolbox with resources that they could need.
Right.
And having a child with hearing loss just means that they have a need for different types of tools. And so it was my job mm-hmm. as their parent to find those tools.
Right.
And so doing that research, but it really just came down to knowing them and getting a feel for, you know, what works for them. So I had one of my children, he really enjoyed cars. So I would create, you know, a lesson about cars that is whatever it was that we were working on. And so making sure that experience had a piece of something that they were interested in. And then what our goals were. We wanted them to be able to count. So let's count cars.
Yes.
And then you can play with them. And so it was just a desire to give them all the tools. So that's really where, and using those resources to the homeschool convention, other parents, Pinterest.
Right. Yes. People that are more creative than I am.
And so just filling, I just became a collector of ideas.
You have to become a good researcher when you have kids with various learning needs, and just try to pull from so many different places and be open to just, again, trying things. But that interest, you know, diving into your child's interest, that is so key, especially when a child struggles, because when they connect with that, they don't even think that they're learning. And that will just let them kind of push past those hard learning leaps that otherwise they just, you know, tend to struggle in and want to give up. So cars, and then that's so key. So both you, I'm assuming, since you said your boys are polar opposites, what was the other one that was their interest?
So he really changed quite a bit, which was really hard.
We
had dinosaurs, we had cats, we had superheroes. It was a whole gamut of things that he decided to be interested in.
You have to have one of those creative ones. That's what they end up being. They keep you on your toes. That's what they're there for.
Yes, they do. Yes, absolutely.
that's awesome. You said you joined a co-op, and so did you have any other kind of helps that you've used through the years? I know you talked about speech therapy a little bit, and of course how that didn't work, but
we had speech therapy early on. We also went to occupational therapy and physical therapy, and those early years were really tough because we also homeschooled in the lobby in between in between their sessions, and so that was very difficult. But the homeschool co-ops, and then after our boys were diagnosed with a hearing loss, we we're connected with Hands and Voices, which is an organization that helps families. They provide resources and networking opportunities. And so we joined the Arkansas chapter and attended events through them to meet other families of children that were deaf and hard of hearing, because we fell into the statistic of our children were the only deaf people we knew.
Right.
So that is difficult when you don't really know what to expect.
Exactly.
And so meeting other families that have children all ages, mm-hmm. so that you can see, oh, this is what a teenager looks like.
Right.
This is what an adult looks like. And so being able to navigate that and to speak with other families that understand what challenges you face, provides an insight that is so valuable. And so I was very fortunate that we had an audiologist and a speech pathologist that guided us to Hands and Voices and encouraged us to go to those events.
Right. Yeah. And that's handsandvoices.org if you're listening. And it's like a parent support network,
right,
that you can provide. And we were talking before the conversation just about how important support networks are, when you walk into a new diagnosis or a new path in your life. I know that's why a lot of people come to SPED homeschool, is they're like, how do I navigate this? This wasn't something that was in my plan of what was going to happen with our life. And now I need other people to come alongside me. I need hope of what this is going to, you know, what this path is going to probably look like. You know, what challenges are we going to face? What do we have to prepare for? And being surrounded with people in that same situation is so comforting. And so you work with the Arkansas chapter, right?
Yes. Yeah,
awesome.
They've been a huge blessing to our life, because one thing that we learned, like you said, when you receive a diagnosis, it kind of shatters the dream that you had for your child,
right?
And so when you're faced with a whole new world and a whole new trajectory.
Exactly.
You don't know what to expect, and the unknown is terrifying.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So being able to partner with other families is so huge, because you get to have conversations with someone that has been on the path that you're on and can share their experiences, because you don't know what you don't know.
Right, exactly. And so, yeah, and otherwise we give into fear. We can give into fear so easily, and it can take us down places that, you know, we're not even going to go, or the possibility is so minute, and we can just get so bogged down with the what ifs instead of focusing on the look at, you know, what other people are doing. That again, it's that hope that's resonating and building up within us when we're surrounded by others. So that's powerful.
It is. It's so powerful. And it's so encouraging, because when you feel so isolated, because it can be very isolating.
Yes.
Just to know that there's one other family out there that
is
also feeling this way.
Uh-huh.
You know, we can feel isolated together. It's just so freeing to know that you're not the only one. You're not the only one that's experiencing this. And to see that their child made it to that next phase of life is so encouraging.
Absolutely.
That they will make it to teenage years, and that they will make it to adulthood, and that that's the natural progression of things, and it's okay.
Exactly. And that's, it's natural for us to go down that way, but that the support networks are what keep us from that. And so I'm so glad that you're serving in that community, and you have so much experience to be able to share from, and connections for families. So I wanted to ask you, what do you see as the greatest positives that have come out of homeschooling, especially for your two boys that experienced the hearing loss?
I feel the greatest thing was being able to tailor their education towards their needs.
Yeah.
And being able to see them grow and to give them the tools to empower them. Because now, from where they were when they were younger to where they are now, they can communicate what their needs are. If they didn't hear something, they can communicate that.
Right.
And I feel like the struggle was so strong early on that if we hadn't homeschooled, that they could have been lost. Right. They could have been very lost. And instead, they're not. Now they're flourishing teenagers and with all the things that come with having a teenager.
Yes, absolutely. And sometimes we wish, we'd get through this phase quick, or yes, we weren't there yet. But that's awesome that you've been able to do that. And I love how you refer to it as, like their toolbox, and you individually customized each of their toolboxes so that as they continue moving on, they know what works. And I think that's one of the biggest struggles is going through the process of trial and error of figuring out what works, but because we want to just find the right thing and then move on. But, right. But it's customizing that I just love to picture it as that the toolbox that your child is going to take with them. It's, we like to build portfolios and all those other things, but we don't often think of all of the things that we give our children that they have access to as those accommodations that they're going to move on with in life, mm-hmm. as even more important than the things that they can show that they've done, because right. it's what they use then in the future. So, yeah, so good. So, what have been maybe some of your hardest parts of homeschooling, or things that you're still kind of going, how do we overcome this?
Mm-hmm. I think one of the biggest struggles that we had and still have sometimes is worrying, are they learning enough? Are we teaching correctly? Are we doing these things that they need to go into a profession, or just to learn everyday skills, or those things, like having that fear that they'll leave our home and we didn't teach them something,
yes.
and we read all of the books of, okay, what should they know by fifth grade?
Right. Or, exactly. Yes. Things.
Uh-huh. And I think those might be common fears.
Right. They truly are. Yes. Yeah. I remember when my oldest graduated and God just really laid on my heart to graduate him a year early. And I'm like, seriously, this child has a diagnosis. Why would I let him leave my house at 17? And I just really felt impressed by God. And then my argue back was, but I haven't taught him everything. And, I could just hear God, saying to me, hey, you still don't know everything.
Right.
What do you expect to teach him in another year? He's ready. He's just let him go. It's so hard because, we've taken so much ownership of our children's learning, and to slowly release that and to let them take control completely of that and keep moving on. Having instilled, hearing your story, you are instilling in your children the love of learning and the competency to learn. And that is what's going to take them to the next levels. And I've said this over and over again in my show, but the statistics are that our kids that are graduating now will have 7 careers in their lifetime. And the ability for them to learn and change is so much more key than training them for just a job, because that job will come and go. But they have to be able to reinvent themselves and say, what am I going to be next?
Exactly. Yes.
Yes. So yes. So take heart, Mom. You're doing a good job. And yes, those are common fears across the board. Even when we don't have struggling students, I speak at a lot of conferences, so I've heard them all. And yes, that is, I think we're really hard on ourselves.
We really are.
Yeah.
But, that's mom guilt, right?
Mom guilt. Yes, exactly. Yes. it's pretty much, yes, across the board there. So, is there anything else that you'd love to share that, you know, through our conversation has come to mind that you'd love to chat about?
I just want to encourage everyone that's listening that you are doing enough for your child. You are providing a strong path for them. And even in those struggles, they're going to appreciate you eventually.
Eventually, yes.
and you just remember that it's all about the child. It's not the tools. It's just the child and having that relationship with them.
Yes.
Because you don't want to sacrifice the relationship for them to learn addition.
Right.
And so just remembering that the relationship is the thing that you want them to leave with. And
exactly.
The rest of the pieces will fall into place, but just enjoying the small things too.
Yes. Yes, very well said. Yes, I've realized the utmost importance of that. You know, I remember saying that when my kids were teenagers, but when they became adults and they came back when they had issues, because that was the closest relationship that they had, it just warmed my heart that God allowed that connection to happen, that they could be vulnerable in their hard places and come home instead of saying, oh, my parents are judgmental. They, you know, they have everything against me and I don't want to, you know, we see that happen all the time. And you want your kids to know that they are loved and that you're on this journey with them. And I think homeschooling really embeds that. We go through the ups and downs of life while we homeschool our kids. And and we screw up. We apologize. We talk a lot about that on this program. but yes, it draws us closer together too, and closer to God. We have to trust in Him and the work that He's doing in all of us to perfect us together. So that's awesome. Well, thanks so much, Angelina, for sharing. And again, if you talked a little bit about handsandvoices.org, and so I encourage our audience to check that out. And also our sponsor today is carterhears.com, and we'd love for you to check out their resources as well. And then next week we are talking with another person from Hands and Voices, and she works with military families. So we're going to be talking about conquering your fears, or conquering your biggest homeschooling obstacles. And so she said, I've got more than just a child with the hearing loss. And so I want to kind of be able to encapsulate it all. And I was like, okay, let's do that. So we're going to be talking a little bit more on the same topic next week. And with another parent. And so that'll just give you more insight. And all of our stories have something to share, and they're all a little same, a little different. And so I just appreciate you, Angelina, and just the story that you were able to share with us and from your experience, and just, again, taking the time to be here. So appreciate
that.
Thank
you. Thank you for allowing me to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. And Mandy from Facebook said thank you too. So thanks for watching, Mandy. And for the rest of you, I've seen you popping on and off and putting hearts and thumbs up. So so glad to have you watching. I know a lot of you watch over your lunch hour, so you just kind of have us going on in the background while you got kids at the table. So we appreciate you for being there. And for those of you that watch and listen on the podcast or the recorded sessions on YouTube. So thanks again. And check out carterhears.com as well as handsandvoices.org. And also visit us at spedhomeschool.com. We've got lots of resources for you on our website. And then we'll see you again next week back here for another episode of Empowering Homeschool Conversations. thanks, everybody. God bless and have a great week. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
I want to take just a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us on this podcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you'll find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more.
This has been Empowering Homeschool Conversations with Peggy Ployer.
Scripture and brain science agree. Meditating on God's Word transforms us and reduces stress in our lives. I'm Jody Nisnik, host of So Much More, Creating Space for God, a scripture meditation podcast. And each week I give you space to hear God's Word, listen to the Spirit, and pray about what's on your heart. And then we have a thoughtful conversation with guests to help us go deeper. Listen and subscribe at lifeaudio.com.